Our scripture reading this morning is found in Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word that the Lord has given to his people.
Thank you, Joshua. I have a roving mic so I can walk wherever. A couple of things. I'm going to stand in the back in a minute. Maybe for the first time in 20 years, I left my wristwatch. I took it off in my shop yesterday and I forgot to put it back on. So I have no idea what the timing is like. I just looked at my microphone and I'm down to 2 bars on my battery pack. Normally I get through a service with 4 bars. It's threatening rain. There's chicken to eat. There's inflatables. I'll try to make this worth your while and not too long. Have you gotten the message that everybody's supposed to have a domino? And hopefully you have a domino by now. The bag is up front. I can't imagine anybody's going up front to get that, but you could send your child up. A domino. Why do I want a domino? Why are you doing this? A lot of people ask that question. Why a domino? Look at it. Yeah, it's just a block of wood. There's not those little dimples on there and that kind of thing. But if you go online, this qualifies as a domino. I chose white. It's simple. It's plain. They represent you. You are anything but simple and plain. But a domino, we each are a domino in God's kingdom. And each one of us are blessed with unique abilities, with unique personalities. One of the joys about being here for a while is I know most of you somewhat well, and I could give up some of your secrets, only the positive ones. And I've come to know some of you that I can say your names in worship in front of everybody else, and you don't hold that against me. So I'm not going to call anybody else out. But domino, it's a simple little game with simple little rectangles, not squares, but simple little rectangles. But they symbolize you. They symbolize each of us as an individual in God's wonderful creation. But also, if you've played with dominoes, as you look at the single one, you can be thinking of all the other dominoes that you need in order to play dominoes or do those things with dominoes that I like to do and make those chains so that you can tift one and they all fall over. When you are playing dominoes or doing those chains, you want as many dominoes as possible. Now, I didn't take a count. I ordered 1,200 dominoes. So I still have plenty. You know, we could make a chain that would just go and you wouldn't be able to eat chicken in a little bit. But you always want more dominoes. Well, in the church, we always want to welcome people in to the church, into the fellowship of believers that we can encourage, we can help, we can walk alongside people. I'm going a little off script at times, so excuse me. Not going to say too much about my wife. You can read about that in the bulletin. She starts chemo tomorrow. I have a friend that I met at Pilgrim Hills when I was 18 years of age. He still claims to be my friend today. His wife has been on a 3 or 4 year journey of ovarian cancer, and it has been rough. And she is back in Cleveland Clinic, having had a surgery at 11 p.m. on Friday night. I had invited my friend Don and others to come to my house yesterday and set the trusses and put my roof on my home. Don had to cancel and he had to apologize to me because he needed to be at Cleveland Clinic. I said, but that's who he is. He's always going to apologize. So at 8 o'clock when people are showing up, guess who pulls in the driveway? His wife had surgery at 11 on Friday, but Don showed up carrying a bag. He wasn't there to help work. His wife wanted to give my wife, his wife's name, Lynn. Lynn wanted to give my Lynn a bag of encouragement. So Don drove from Tiffin 2 hours out of his way, and then he headed back to Cleveland Clinic, and then he would end up home last night. Part of the fellowship is the journeys, the experiences we have gone through where we can encourage one another. Great examples I have, and I'm sure you have. The letter to the Hebrews reminds Christians to gather together, to not be an island, to not be a single domino, to but be a part of the fellowship of believers. And third, as you hold your domino, everybody's holding it? As you're looking at your domino, I want you to consider it. I want you to think about being together with fellow believers. I want you to encourage you to think about how you are able to affect others, in your faith in Christ. For affecting others in Christ is of extreme importance, and it's why we worship, and it's why we serve the Lord today. Today. Not next year, not next year, not next month, but beginning today. This little domino, using it as a symbol of Christians being connected together. As I thought about that, the meaning of the poem, "I carry a cross in my pocket," came to mind. I carry a cross in my pocket, a simple reminder to me of the fact that I am a Christian, no matter where I may be. This little cross is not magic, nor is it a good luck charm. It isn't meant to protect me from any physical harm. It's not for identification for all the world to see. It's simply an understanding between my Savior and me. When I put my hand in my pocket to bring out a coin or a key, the cross is there to remind me of the price that He paid for me. It reminds me, too, to be thankful for my blessings day by day and strive to serve Him better in all that I do and all that I say. It's also a daily reminder of the peace and comfort I share with all who know my Master and give themselves to His care. So I carry a cross in my pocket, reminding no one but me that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, if only I'll let Him be. Today, you have a domino for your pocket. And if you don't have pockets and you don't want to carry this around, I don't see too many people today that walk around without a phone. So you can take a picture and put that as your screensaver for the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, or totally ignore it whatsoever, because I will not do that. I will not carry this. It's symbolic. Have the thought buried in your mind and in your heart that we are dominoes in the life of the church. Everybody's looking that way. They're waiting to get in. They're in. That's okay. Now, the good news is I compiled 21 pages of sermon illustrations from Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. You getting nervous? 21 pages. One of the greatest things I learned in seminary was how to filter out what you don't need to say. So I took into account who I expected to be here. And I thought you could get away with just 3 illustrations and not all 21 and you could get the point that quickly. Is that true? We're going to test you. I like the head shakes, yes. But before I do share some illustrations, I want to ask you two questions. They're rhetorical questions. As I've shared in the past, I'm a MASH fan. I still watch MASH periodically. I'm a MASH fan, and rhetorical questions, Radar doesn't understand. Oh, one of those, if you know that particular episode. These are questions you ask in your mind. You don't shout out the answer, unless you're a little child up at the children's moment. Just sharing. Question number one, why are you here in worship today? Why are you here in worship today? And question number two, are you planning on being in worship next Sunday? Think about those questions. I want to read the passage from Hebrews 10:19 one more time. I'd like you to follow along. It's printed in your bulletin. You can have it on your phone or you can listen. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, confidence, we claim that. By a new and living way open for us through the curtain was torn in two, it's open for us to enter in. That is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, that is Jesus our Lord, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. God does not want us to have a guilty conscience. We know that we are sinners, but we don't have to live with that. We can let that go to the death and mercy of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Day is capitalized D. That means it's talking about the day when Christ will return. This passage teaches us that we need one another. We need one another. If recent polls can be trusted, there is a vast upsurge of Lone Ranger spirituality in the United States. Lone Ranger. For those of you that are 40 or younger, you'll have to Google it. Lone Ranger. I can do it alone. I don't need help. I can manage it. In the reality, church attendance is down. Biblical beliefs are being abandoned. More and more of our fellow citizens, they are looking inward and looking elsewhere and out of doors for the uplift they once sought in church sanctuaries. How different from Jesus? Jesus made it his practice to join in synagogue services regularly. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. But today, many people no longer take Jesus as an example. They settle for what is loosely called spirituality. They try to nurture their souls without the timeless traditions of congregational praise and prayer and biblical instruction and edifying fellowship. To gather regularly with other worshipers is an uplifting source of comfort and inspiration and emotional strength. The Bible urges us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As Hebrews encourages us not to give up on meeting together, we recognize the reality of people's life situations. Those who are homebound and who are or live in a care facility. Those whose work schedules often have them working on Sundays. Those who are ill and all of the other situations that we live through for vacations and summers. It's why St. John's provides pause for praise. It's why we live stream the 8 o'clock service this morning. It's why we live stream. We recognize physical presence isn't always possible. But when we can, we gather together to encourage. In meeting together and staying connected by radio or live stream, we should, of course, have regular devotional time for ourselves. This is tremendous to be together. It's made even that much more enriching when we daily spend time in God's Word. Did you have the same thought as I did when Ryan shared that he read in eighth grade, you read a book a day? How long did it take him to read that? That's not a trick question. Oh, confirmands, how many books are in the Old Testament? 27. How many in the New? 39. 39 in the Old, 27. I wanted to see if anybody was listening. That's how I often cover my mistakes. 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. He read 66 books. He read Leviticus chapter 26 in one day. Wow. It can be done. It can be done. We are encouraging one another to read and study Scripture. Scripture helps us stir up love and good works in ourselves. And we need to make that a habit. Hebrews 10 answers the question, why go to church? And I don't just mean physical presence, but why be the church? In a letter to the editor of a newspaper, a man complained that he saw no sense in going to church every Sunday. I have been attending services quite regularly for the past 30 years, he wrote, and during that time, I have listened to no less than 3,000 sermons. But to my consternation, I discover I cannot remember a single one of them. I wonder if a minister's time might be more profitably spent on something else. I've never had that thought. That letter to the editor sparked many responses. One, however, was viewed as the clincher. I have been married for 30 years. During that time, I have eaten 32,850 meals, mostly of my wife's cooking. Suddenly, I have discovered that I cannot remember the menu of a single meal past the last week. And yet, I received nourishment from every one of them. I have the distinct impression without them, I would have starved to death long ago. With that illustration, Christian author Dennis DeHaan wrote that the Bible presupposes the importance of going to church, and the only admonition to do so appears in the context of the danger of forsaking the practice. Hebrews 10:25. We need help to keep our faith and hope from wavering, verse 23, and to love and do good works, 24. Just as physical food keeps us alive and strong, so also the spiritual nourishment of teaching and fellowship are necessary for our survival. Illustration number two, Hebrews 10:19 through 25, one person's reflections focused on churchless Christians. He wrote, "Nowhere in the Bible does it say we must have our names on a church membership roll to be saved. And that is very, very true." That doesn't mean, however, that joining with other believers in a local church is not vital to our spiritual growth. Gathering regularly for worship and instruction encourages love for others, good works, and mutual accountability. The person then goes on to share that they had read an interesting article some time ago that compared a Christian without a church to a student who won't go to school, a soldier without an army, a citizen who won't vote, a sailor without a ship, a drummer without a band, a ball player without a team, a honeybee without a hive, a scientist who does not share his findings with his colleagues. You get the picture? If a person has been neglecting one of God's greatest provisions for their spiritual growth, Hebrews encourages us to be a church that believes and teaches God's word and to participate faithfully. Take time to get to know others and let them get to know you. Ask God to help you find the ways to serve others. Serving others, servants, volunteers, critical to the well-being of a church. Remember the domino. One domino falling over, affecting another domino. Each are needed. No gaps allowed. One more illustration. This one, I believe, drives home the point about serving others. Each of us doing our part. It was late at night. As a car rounded a curve, a minister was at the wheel. His wife was sitting beside him. Their young son was in the back seat. As they rounded a curve, the beams from the headlight suddenly shone on a woman desperately waving her arms. The pastor did not want to stop. It was late. It was very cold outside. He and his wife were exhausted from ministering all day in a small church where he was student pastor. Their small son had just fallen asleep on the back seat, and the pastor had to be in class at 8:30 the next morning. "Somebody else will come along," he said to his wife, rationalizing to himself that the woman might be trying to lure him into a trap. But his conscience made him stop. And it's a good thing they did. In the woman's car, they found four unconscious children overcome by fumes from a faulty muffler. Quickly, they loaded them into their car and headed for the nearest hospital, where they soon recovered after prompt treatment. The pastor later said that he doesn't advocate stopping along the highway for just anyone. Yet so many pressing needs, they go unmet. For instance, an elderly couple, no longer able to drive, hasn't been to church for several months because no one has offered to take them. And a widow with multiple sclerosis wishes that somebody would take her grocery shopping and help her to get to church on Sunday. Why isn't somebody meeting these needs? The young pastor wondered. And then he remembered his own initial response that night along the highway. Somebody else will come along. The domino effect. We are the somebody. It's not the sky, but it's everybody looking at the sky says, it's time to end. Hebrews encourages us to stop that thinking that somebody else will come along. Instead, we are to respond. We are to do our part. It made me think of a song. Let there be peace on earth and... I didn't hear you. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Praise be to God. Amen.
God has blessed us abundantly, not the least of which is no rain. So let's return some of those blessings to Him. I invite the ushers to gather the offering this morning. Thank you. Let's pray. As we bring this offering to you, Lord, we give back to you from your abundant blessings. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight, Almighty God. Amen.
We heard from the examples of Josiah reading the word. We heard examples of Ezra reading the word, Paul reading the word. And we also have that example in Jesus, who was reading and learning the word from a young age in the temple, debating with the scholars there, and they heard him and were amazed at his answers. Jesus spent time in the synagogues, and he often read the word. The account we get in Luke 4 is him reading the scroll of Isaiah. And those heard him marveled at the words he had. And though the people of Nazareth didn't quite understand him that day, they were so blessed, didn't realize how blessed they were to have Jesus reading to them. And though it did not look like Jesus is reading to us through the person of Eric or Linda or whoever else is up here, we were blessed today to hear Jesus read to us, to hear God's words spoken to us. And so we conclude this worship service together with our closing hymn, Our God.
There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater. Stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
As the benediction, we're going to have a prayer for the meal, whether you're eating here, which you're all welcome to do, or going somewhere else. But take your time. It's not going to rain until 2 o'clock. Serving is in the gym. You can eat in there. You can come out to the tables. You can help me watch the children in the inflatables and adults that think they're children in the inflatables. We found the bingo cage and the balls, but we have not found the bingo cards. Jocelyn found everything, so we'll try to do bingo in the gym after we finish eating, and we will go with there. I don't know if we have lawn games. I brought some. We may have lawn games depending upon how fast you get done eating and those kind of things. Let's pray. Lord, what a blessing it is to gather together. We thank you for all those that are here this day, and we pray that your peace would fill their hearts and that the love that you have for us would resound in their hearts and their minds. We thank you for the time of worship. We praise you for the time of fellowship. We pray your blessing upon the food, and we're thankful for the members of the fellowship committee that are serving. And we pray, Lord, that we would just worship you in every moment of our lives. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Dismiss us with thy blessing.
I forgot to remind everybody that Kelly and Dan, the white van, is over there in front of the south porch area, and they can receive. Kelly is not able to stay, so you need to kind of unload your vehicles. And if there is too much, it'll end up in the storage building, and Dan said he'd take it down later.